Hey, gang, we all know Spotify is the ultimate destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. Well, did you know that outside of all of your favorite music, Spotify now has all of your favorite podcasts? That's right, including How Did I Get Here? We're all available on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from the App Store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's right, Spotify. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you're all safe and healthy. Normally at this point I'd be like, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I sure did. I didn't have a good weekend, man. I played on Friday night. I did, probably last gig for a while. I played a solo show over at Cenote, Windsor Park, with my friend Chris Taylor. It was fun for what it was. It was tense. It felt weird. Saturday, I spent the day kind of in a silent panic, suffering from anxiety, just sitting in bed, freaking out. And then Sunday, I read some stuff. I got outside, did some walking, did some stuff. Anyway, like got out of bed and did some stuff around the house. But gang, I hope that you all are safe and healthy. This is an unprecedented time. There's a lot of shit going down. I know that I had originally planned on putting out 5 shows this week. It was going to be a surprise for you guys. I was going to be doing them every day at the Clubhouse Austin, and I was going to put out a whole week's worth of shows in a week. And I was hoping you guys were going to dig it, but unfortunately, we can't do that because all that stuff got canceled. And I have reached out to some people, and I decided this morning that I'm going to go ahead and pull up my pants because this show can go on. I can bring you guys entertainment while you're at your house, locked in, quarantined. I don't know how long this is going to go. We don't know how bad this is going to get. We're all freaked out, but you want to just hear some musicians talking? Maybe so. I would, and I do, so I'll be listening to my favorite podcast. Maybe adding 5 this week will alleviate at least some of the stress for you for a little while. I do know that a lot of musicians that had their shows canceled this week, and rightly so, are putting on some online shows, like some streaming shows. If you are a musician and you're doing that and you're listening to this right now, go ahead and send me a link. Write me at How Did I Get Here on Facebook, okay? And I'll share them on there. I'll share them wherever I can, mostly on the How Did I Get Here on Facebook. Go there. I'll be doing some live updates. But I decided that I can still do podcasts like doing video chats with people. So I'm going to. I'm gonna record the audio like I do when I do Skype interviews or whatever. But I can talk to people on Facebook Messenger. I can talk to people on Skype. I've reached out to some people. They said yes. So I don't want to do anything until it's actually confirmed. I had a podcast scheduled for today, for Monday, but it canceled this morning. Totally understandable. It was going to be Joe Carroll Pierce. The legendary Joe Carroll Pierce. I was really looking forward to that. But I have some scheduled. I have some exciting ones scheduled. I also have some Skype conversations. You'll hear from some great people about what they're doing to stay occupied during this time of quarantine. Maybe give you some advice of stuff to watch, music to listen to, books to read, and other podcasts to listen to even. So I'm bringing you 5 shows this week. And the first one, gang, is a band from right here in Austin that I just became hip to over the last few months. They're called Think No Think. And their latest album, Nothing Really Matters, is available now wherever it is that you stream and download the jams. John, Jimmy, and Lee all came by, sat down, and we had a great conversation. This is a real rock and roll band, gang. These guys are, Think No Think is a real rock and roll band. They've been on tour with Gary Clark Jr., and they have some shows coming up. And I'm saying that they have a show scheduled for May 22nd, with Dinosaur Jr. at Mohawk, and that's more than 8 weeks away. So maybe that's one. Maybe that's one for the people. Maybe that's going to happen. Wouldn't that be exciting if that actually happened? Anyway, Think No Think. Nothing Really Matters. Their album's absolutely fantastic. They're a real rock and roll trio. They recorded their record that way. They did it with Paul Leary from Butthole Surfers. And that's pretty exciting, too. A great, great producer from a great, great band. They have great stories, and we have a great conversation. So, without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with John, Jimmy, and Lee from the great rock and roll band, Think No Think. Let's get down.
Slouching
band.
Nightmare.
Yeah, they're not just like a slouch, so like I look like a gargoyle on this stool, like yeah, looking at my prey. Oh, this is a pretty nice little light in here.
Yeah. Hey.
This is adorable.
Dialed it.
Nothing Really Matters. Your album is absolutely fucking great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't say anything while you were hanging out, did I?
No.
Kept it all to myself. You're like, man, does this guy even like our thing? No, no, it was really, really
that.
Great.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun.
Who did you do that with? Where'd you do that? Who does your stuff?
We
man?
Did that at Spaceflight Records at our buddy Brett's house. We kind of christened the studio there.
Excellent.
First ones in. Brought in Paul Leary to produce the Butthole Surfers. Yeah.
He's produced a lot of stuff. What else has he done that?
He's famous for his Sublime.
Yeah. Of course, right.
But we liked him for his Meat Puppets recordings. Yeah. And he's did some shit with U2. He did, he's done a bunch of stuff. But his thing was he did a lot of the recording, and he was kind of the mastermind behind all the Butthole Surfers records. So.
Yeah. What? How did you guys hook up with him?
I went to a lunch that was arranged by a former manager and had a lunch, and he just sat there and stared at me. And I didn't order any food. I ordered a beer instead, and I think that's when we started our relationship.
Yeah.
Who's to say, though? He's a very mysterious dude.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's hard to get a read on him.
But he did a great job. What did he bring to the table with you guys? Like, did he
bunch of gear, bunch of all the like expertise? All the buttholes he kind of took control and was showing everybody how things are done in the studio. Like, you know, real quick, fast, and in a hurry.
The way it was done is we did, I think. Was it 2 days?
Yeah.
2 days in the studio, full band, just live recordings to tape.
And did all of it.
And then it was pretty much a live record, except for I did vocals and some guitar overdubs in his personal studio at his house. So that was when it really got him, like, he really put his special touch on it, because I would go to his house and he would leave a special piece of gear out, but it would be, like, all the way on the other side of the room. But if I noticed the piece of gear, I could use it. I think I don't know if he was doing this on purpose, but there are a few things that I noticed, and he would let me use it that day. So it was like a routine,
right?
And so he would let me use some special, you know, guitars or amps or pedals and all that stuff. And he actually worked that song Johnny Pendejo was titled by him because we worked on it together. Okay.
Is that what he was calling you?
I think that was just the working title. And we kept it.
Did you guys have any South by cancellation situations?
Yeah.
Were you official?
Canceled, okay. Yeah. But we pretty much kept we kept as much as we could, and some things even got rescheduled, so.
How many of these have you slogged through so far? You've been around since 2012, right?
Well, not official since 2012. We probably were doing it, yeah. I can't exactly remember. Our first EP came out in 2011.
Okay.
So we were definitely doing it. We were probably first official for like the last 4 years. So I don't know. Yeah. Probably 2015, I think. And this will be maybe our fourth or fifth. I can't really remember.
You know, what do you notice is the difference between an official, and I don't think I've ever asked anyone that.
Our officials usually suck. No, I don't know if I should say that. They're just, you know, there's just a lot more red tape with the officials, but allegedly they're lead to greater exposure, or some kind of record label guy is going to be there. I'm not really sure what the whole official accomplishes,
about throughout the whole thing. And I understand what you're saying, and I think that what you're saying is, in a softer way, is you have less control in an official situation over your circumstances.
You can't even get your label people couldn't even come in. You know, it's just weird how it's arranged. So it always feels kind of strange when you're doing them. Like your manager couldn't come in. Like your friends can't come in. Your merch person can't come in. It's like
very restricted.
It's very restricted. So it just feels weird to try and do a rock show in that setting. It's always weird.
But the short set format, I think, would work with you guys, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can always blast through a short set.
Yeah.
Pull those out pretty good.
Has it always been just the three of you guys?
It's been a three-piece, yeah. Not necessarily us guys. But,
okay.
Yeah.
We've been
through some different members interchange, but typically it's been a three-piece.
Yeah, I wasn't even here. It was actually started by... I inherited this. This is a secondhand band.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just joking.
I was going to say, because that's weird.
Yeah, I had to shake some dust off of it, and a little spit shine.
We did actually just add a fourth member, which is a historic event.
Yeah, it was a historic event. Yeah. Our Continental Club show that we just did with Kalu and the Electric Joint. We did christen our first four-piece set with Jason Frey from Black Joe Lewis and Hard Proof.
That's cool. What does he play?
He plays saxophone, but he does it in this amazing way. He runs it kind of like through an array of pedals, and so he's really kind of...
I've never heard anything like it.
Yeah, he does a really unique thing.
That's awesome.
So it works for us.
How was that show? You guys are on Space Flight Records?
We are, correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so is Kalu, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys had a little label night. I didn't mean to sound that condescending.
We decided
a little label, your little label, have a night.
We decided that we wanted to team up and show what we could do if we worked together, instead of working against each other. So we decided to become friends and be very much in contact with all three bands about promotion and about...
Who's the third band?
It was Medicine Man Revival.
Okay.
Who actually we worked, Jason Burt, we just did a little track with... he produced a little track that we did in Kalu's studio just the other day. So it was kind of a little... Yeah, the night before the show we did. So we were all kind of working together.
Well, that's awesome. I like JT a lot too, man. Like, he's a great...
JT's amazing.
Guy. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing tone.
And so that's the whole thing. You know, Kalu and JT and I just made a little unlikely team, I guess I would call it. But it's a good team, and we're doing... I think all out of the wheelhouse for all three of us, so it's just becoming this new thing.
Did your last album come out on Spaceflight?
Yeah, was the first release that we did. Yeah,
so you've done two records with them. It's a good.
The first record we self-released on a fake label called Art Etc.
Okay,
but this last one that we just did was the first release.
Okay,
to release our third record.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah,
when is that coming out?
We're just making it right now. So,
okay,
yeah.
Who are you doing that with?
Writing.
We don't know. Like, we're kind of letting whatever happens happen. Right. Right now, we're demoing songs with JT in his studio.
Cool.
I don't think he has a name for his studio, but
he doesn't seem like a guy that would. He doesn't seem like a guy that needs like Kiss dolls or anything to make himself feel happy like I do. You know,
no, he just has really, really cool guitars.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a good setup.
He's got a killer little studio. It
feels like a proper studio. Yeah. It's nice.
It's homey.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, where are you from, man?
I was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah,
I grew up
baby.
In Baltimore, outside of Baltimore.
Okay.
And I went to high school in Kansas City.
Okay.
And I've been here since 2009.
Making his way down.
Yeah, a big, giant, swooping.
Making it down. When did you start playing in Kansas City?
I played my first show in fourth grade for the talent show.
No shit?
Yeah.
Fourth
and I
grade?
I stole amplifiers from someone's older brother to get amps for the whole band.
It's a good fourth grader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Activity.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm ambitious.
You are. You are.
Yeah.
It takes that kind of guy. So fourth grade, you played your first gig. So when did you start playing guitar?
Well, my brother... I have an older brother, and he got a guitar when he was 13, so I was 8. And he was just thrashing on it to Jimi Hendrix, and it was like the best noise. But he would get mad and never let me hear him. So eventually he decided he was bad at it because he's an artist. And so he put it in the closet, and it came with a little amp, and then I just stole it from him. So I have a long history of stealing guitars and amplifiers. So watch out.
You want to go through it? I mean, maybe the statute of limitations is gone on a couple of your adventures.
Yeah, definitely. I stole my first bass player. Like, after I started another band, and I stole my bass player's guitar, and I smashed it on stage. That was the first guitar I ever smashed on stage. And then I smashed my brother's guitar on stage as well.
So fourth grade, the talent show, what did you play?
I played bass. I actually taught a kid how to play guitar.
Okay. But what did you play? Like a cover song?
We were supposed to do my originals.
Okay.
Oh, this story sucks. So we were supposed to do my original songs, and I did all this work, and so I teach all this band, you know, all these songs, and we get there, and they're like, oh, the microphone's broken, you have to use a headset, like a Britney Spears, like,
fuck yeah,
and I was like, I'll do it, and my band was like, no, you won't, we're not doing that, like, you're not, it was like,
so what'd you play, like, Wipeout or something?
Yeah, we played, like, Nirvana and Blink 182 or something, and it was like, but all of a sudden the girls wanted to talk to me, and my teachers were like, we're going to play this looking back, right? And I'm like, yeah. Why are you laughing at me? Yes. So it was just kind of one of those things.
So you had bands, and you organized stuff?
Yeah.
Did you play after the talent show? What did you guys do? Hit the road?
Well, all those guys decided I was not cool anymore, so they all left. And then I played in two-piece bands for a long time just because, like, that's, you can find one guy. And
you're
played in a farmhouse in Kansas. That's a whole other thing. Yeah, an abandoned farmhouse in the attic.
That's cool.
And
I just had the Bowleys in here. You know, guys know them?
I think we've played with them before. Yeah. I don't know them personally.
They do their business cool, in a farmhouse out there in the country.
Awesome.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. We're trying to make that transition.
They live on land. You want to move out to the country?
I do.
He already
you,
did. Yeah,
you did? Where do you live?
Yeah, he's
I live just 30 minutes east. I live a double life right now, doing this stuff and then a ranch renovation project. That's outside Weberville. No, Weberville.
You have the physique of a man who does work with his hands.
Yeah,
he's constantly working.
Trying to say that without sounding creepy.
Yeah,
you don't look like a guy from the gym. You look like a guy that's been doing a bunch of shit.
That's pretty accurate.
That's Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So what made you go out to the country? The prices or the
traffic? Just the people. Yeah, the lack thereof. Yeah, quiet's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nature is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in a different zone. I had an early nature situation that was a little too intense for me, like tent living out in the country, out in like the
in Texas?
No, in Mexico, and like weird shit.
Cool.
And like,
oh, wow.
I lived in the country in Texas. I lived in the country in Marin County. And as I've gotten older, I've just been like, man, I'm going to be right
Marin
in
County,
downtown.
California.
Is exactly, what's that?
You say Marin County,
Marin
California?
Marin County, California.
Cool.
Yeah, in Nicasio.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, but yeah, I have the opposite. I have the never leaving the city.
Yeah. Okay.
I like walking to a place and getting something that I need. Candy bar.
I think I'm a city rat, but I like that he's got places that I can go to, you know.
Yeah.
Because I do need to go scream in a field every once in a while, but.
Yeah.
So wait.
Everybody does.
Before I finish with you, so you go to high school, and what are your parents, like, they got a new job or something in Kansas City?
A lot of changing jobs, and my dad started his own business after he got fired, or like laid off.
What kind of business?
He was an ice cream man.
That's awesome.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a guy that loves ice cream.
Yeah, so that was one thing, you know. Kids would come to try the ice cream flavors, you know.
Yeah.
So.
What is he? Does he, he likes your band? Does he like the band?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
You guys are really, really good. Like, and it's interesting because you're a lot younger than your music is.
Oh, stop it.
You know what I'm saying? How old are you?
I'm 21.
Oh,
I'm
32.
You're okay. But still, that's young. I mean, that's young for the music you're playing. You know what I'm saying? You seem to have a grasp on something that happened before you were born.
I definitely wish to. I guess everyone, we were just talking about on the way here, we wish we were part of a or I do wish I was part of a different generation, but I'm not sure which that would be.
I had that too. I wanted to be like post Beatles, like say my band came out in 72, like Big Star or something, you know what I mean? Like
we'd be having a better time.
T-Rex.
Yeah. You know? See, it'd probably be early 70s or early 80s. Like I'm a big fan of like
Sorry, man.
Or like 83, you know, like Black Flag, like that type so
you,
era.
You're like a punk guy.
Yeah, I love all that stuff.
We all like, you know, when we first started really getting into music, you know, the early 90s, everything that was coming out in the early 90s is the stuff that we're still,
it's stuff that most, we're kind of still
mostly
on.
Influenced by.
Yeah.
You know, your Smashing Pumpkins and Soundgarden, Nirvana, anything from the early 90s was rock, was...
Yeah.
That's the, and that's how I, basically like, what we
were exposed to first, right?
Or influenced by.
And got, you know, through, it's like through, you know, Sonic Youth and Nirvana, you get the Melvins, and then the Melvins turn you on to whatever, and then Sonic Youth turns you on to Glenn Branca, and then you're into DNA, and then you're into, you know, Captain Beefheart, and then you get into Ornette Coleman, and then you get into...
I like the pause before, and then you're into Captain Beefheart. Like something weird has to go down.
You're listening to Neubauten, man, and you're in a fucking industrial warehouse, and you're listening to fucking Neubauten, dude. Shit's rough.
What brought you to Austin?
I just want to leave the Midwest.
Kansas City.
Yeah, and come here and start a band and get famous as shit.
Austin seemed attractive.
I don't know. That's not really true exactly, but I just wanted to leave.
Did you guys go to the awards last night?
No. We're not trying, I guess, that hard. We weren't invited.
What awards?
The Austin Music Awards.
The Austin Music Awards. They don't have them in the country.
They don't have them out there, no.
I say that like such a jerk. You guys are opening for Dinosaur Jr. That's pretty fucking cool.
Ooh.
That is exciting.
I don't know if we can... say that, but yeah, we are.
It's out there.
Is it?
I mean, I saw it on the thing. Nobody told me. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I saw it publicly. I'm just repeating.
We are. Okay, good.
You said it.
Yeah. I had to dig around.
That's good. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And I haven't decided if we're going to play this. We have a song called Dinosaur 3 on our new record that is like a direct ripoff of a Dinosaur Jr. song. It's like blatant. So I don't know if we're going to play it or not. It would be pretty funny.
We'll play it by you.
Feel it out.
Yeah. Got to practice.
Have it in the bag just in case.
Yeah. So when did you come here? Excuse me.
2000, tail end of 2008, early 2009, because I had to move back to Kansas City. I came here like $300, and apparently that was not enough. So I had to go back and get my job back. And luckily, I was friends with my boss. He was like, "It's cool, dude. We got you." So,
that's cool. What were you doing?
I was being the worst busboy ever, and I was playing on the patio at this place called the West Side Local in Kansas City, on like 17th and Summit. It's a really cool spot.
Cool.
But,
all right, Lee, what's your deal? Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Texas.
Are you?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. North Texas, DFW area. Got down here as soon as I could because that area of Texas was not for me.
No?
No.
What about it wasn't for you?
Oh, just most of the things, people.
The conservatism?
I wouldn't just say that. Just the lack of culture to me in my eyes at the time got me out of there.
Yeah So you came down here at a younger
I was 18 or 19, so like 2006 ish I'd say.
What did you do? You wanted to just come here and play music
or? No, I just wanted to get out of the region I was in. I never envisioned myself in a band. But
that's true. We did kind of have to rope him in.
I started playing guitar kind of when I got down here, and then realized I was playing guitar like a bassist and decided to get myself some job security.
Yeah. That's true. Do you play with anyone else?
I was in a few other bands before Johnny came around. I had played alongside, or you know, played shows with him, and always thought that I needed to be playing bass for him. But didn't tell him until I got in the band, obviously. But yeah, heard things in my head that the bassist at the time wasn't doing. Or, just heard different things. And
Yeah.
Saw myself there, and lo and behold.
How long have you guys been playing together? How long have you been?
Probably like 4 or 5 years now.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right.
Good unit.
Yeah. Jimmy. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about it, baby.
Jim.
Where are you from, man?
I'm from here in Austin. Born and raised.
Wow, yeah, unicorn.
One of the few.
One of the weirdos.
Yeah, one of the weirdos. There's not many of us left.
No, there's not. There's a few of them, though.
No, born in Austin.
Cleveland Arnold.
Done a lot of traveling, but made my way back to Austin.
Yeah. So did you grow up here? Like, were your parents into music? Did you do the things like go to Blues on the Green and shit when you were a kid?
I did it all.
Like,
did the Aquafest, did the Blues on the Green, Conn Street Festival.
Yeah.
No, yeah. My parents were definitely into music, both played music.
Oh, really? Were they in the scene? Did they play in bands?
In the scene, but in the scene that would be like the Tejano scene.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my dad was a trumpet player.
Awesome.
And mom was a saxophone player. So that, you know, in the mid-70s, that scene was, you know, massive.
Yeah.
There was a lot of music happening then. I'm a product of that. My parents met through music. My dad played in my grandfather's band, which... Jesus. Is how my mom and dad met.
Third generation.
So full-on, full-blooded musician from Texas.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But yeah, I've played music basically my whole life, lived in Austin, other places, but I've always come back to Austin. And I'm relatively new to this band, only this year. Basically right when the recording finished for the last record, I came into the picture.
That's awesome.
I've played in several other bands in town and found myself pretty available when they were in need of someone to kind of come in and, I don't know,
step up the game,
step up the
tocar la batería,
the drum playing a little bit. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. What was the, like, was there a show you saw? Was there a particular Aquafest that you walked away, or did you just always kind of know you were going to do this because you were raised in it? You're just like, well, you know.
I kind of believe that I was, you know, born to do it, and then sort of realized and found myself, you know, beating on things at an early age. So,
hey, easy, man. It's all ages.
But there was some moments that I can specifically just remember. One was a wedding that we had in our backyard when I was a kid, and it was for my aunt had her wedding in her backyard, and they hired a band. And I specifically remember just being glued to the band and just standing in front of them and just watching them. And my parents taking notice, being like, look at him in front of this band, just like front row, like watching a show to the wedding band. And I think, you know, still remembering that moment, I think that was probably the moment when I was like certain that I was going to be a musician or wanted to be one.
Yeah. You know,
and that was at probably age 5.
Yeah. You know? I had a similar thing. My mom couldn't find me at a thing when we lived in Mexico, and we were in like some small village that was having like their annual party or whatever. And I just like it just pulls you forward.
Drawn to it,
And I just was sitting there next to the drummer. Like, he was like, "Oh yeah, that's cool." And my mom's freaking out all over the place, like she lost her little kid. But that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So, it's planes flying over. So
Well, actually, there's two things that should be mentioned here, because actually, Jimmy was recommended by Brett, who owns Spaceflight.
Okay.
And
this was right after the recording.
Right after recording, we just did a couple tours with Gary Clark Jr. and stuff. Things were good. I was looking to kind of step up the game. He was like, "Jimmy." And I was like, "What? Are you kidding me? No, he would never play with us like that, you know." He's like, "Here's his number," and I texted him like that day. He's like, "I am standing here at Waterloo Records with your record in my hand," you know, that type of thing. And
that's true.
And wow, that's fucking very awesome, true, man. Yeah. That is awesome.
I thought it was the most out of the blue text to get, and look down, and I'm holding your record.
Yeah, and so, and then it gets more kind of cosmic than that, because so we meet and we start to play together, and then we find out that not only is our birthday really close together, but that our parents have the same birthdays, both mother and father, to the same year. That's our fathers have the same birthday, same year.
Freaky yeah, stuff.
That is
like
freaky.
And so that was like cosmic a little bit. Yeah. And so yeah, that was just that one aspect I thought should be mentioned because it was so strange.
When it really hasn't been addressed up until this point, publicly.
No, it hasn't.
How did I get here?
Exclusive.
Yeah. You guys can have some free stickers for that information.
Oh, yeah.
You really can. When did you tour with Gary?
We went on a couple runs with him.
That's great.
He got us out of South By last year, which
That's
was
true.
Awesome. I gave him a big
true.
Hug for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the following, or the September
that.
Prior to that, yeah. in 2018, we did a run pretty much like halfway across the United States from like...
Yeah, we started in Aspen and went to Port
Red
Chester,
Rocks.
New York.
Did you guys have a bus, or were you...
We had a van.
You had a van. You were like chasing the
they
bus.
Were, they were
trying to keep up with the bus. Yeah, the bus drives at night while we're trying to drink.
I think they
drink.
Were just seeing if we could keep up.
We did.
Yeah.
Except for one time change in like Grand Rapids, Michigan, we didn't know about. But yeah, we did pretty good. Well,
chasing the bus in a van is difficult.
It is. Man. They fly.
It's harder than you think. You get a big tour and then you realize that the tour's running on a bus schedule, mm-hmm. and then you're trying to chase behind in the van and get
no
sleep.
That night.
Trying to sleep in the hotel for 2 hours and then get in on the road and drive. It's mm-hmm. pretty tough to.
Do you guys know the Sword?
Yeah.
They told me this great story on here about.
This just got really awkward.
Uh oh.
Well, continue. Continue with your story. Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
That Lars, I can't remember if it was Lars or James, like they went on this tour with Metallica. And they kept going, and they kept, and they were the ones that were like, dude, we can't do this anymore, man. Like, we got to go home. And they were like, dude, we thought you'd go home like months ago. We felt like they were like watching to see. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wasn't on that tour, but I have been and currently the drummer for the Sword about 2010, around 2011,
awesome.
I officially joined. But that was right after these Metallica tours.
Yeah.
We've done a few since then, but I definitely do remember hearing
the
story.
It was Kyle that told me the story.
About them.
Yeah.
They stayed on the, we stayed on this tour for over a year with Metallica, and to the point where they were asking if we wanted to stay on it.
Right.
That it was our decision, you know, to stay on or not, and that they stayed on for about a year, but it was tough.
Well, secretly,
for them.
I guess they were taking bets to see how long you guys could last. Well, because they also travel in fucking planes. I mean, they're like touring is completely different than yours.
Yeah, it's hard up with any major person just because
private
they have
jets and all.
So you played on that Adrian Quesada record.
Yeah, High Country.
Great fucking record, man. I'm a huge fan of
this
one.
Yeah, and we love Adrian, too. We've been a longtime friend with him. It was a long time coming, actually, getting to work with him.
Yeah.
We've always been friends with Grupo Fantasma and Brownout and all everything he's been a part of.
Yeah.
And we share a lot of similar mutual friends. So, yeah, that was a good, fun record to make here in Austin. We did it at Church House Studios.
I love that place.
Yeah.
I did my last thing there.
Cool. Well. Yeah. I love that place. It's a beautiful house, you know. It's
beautiful. And you got Dave.
Yeah, Dave. He's
Dave.
Australian.
Australian.
New Zealand? Yeah,
Australian. Yeah, I think we met him at the... Is he a Black Fret dude?
He is a Black Fret dude, I think, isn't he?
Yeah. I believe
you guys were up for Black Fret. Did you get something?
We just got renominated.
You got renominated?
We got a $7,000 grant last year.
Yeah.
That's good.
We're hoping for less this year.
Shooting.
Dude, don't laugh. All that shit's the first to go. You know what I mean? In times like this.
Yeah.
Don't laugh.
Don't laugh.
I had a couple of games. I was supposed to play. I'm in this band Skyrocket. We were supposed to play on Tuesday night at this thing that got canceled. Sunday, we're supposed to play at this thing. It got canceled. It's starting to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a couple cancellations, haven't we?
The ones that are still happening, we've got March 14th, it's the KTX show. That's with Walker Lukens and Nolan Potter's Nightmare Band.
Right. That
Smile,
looks great, by the way.
Zeta Jewel.
How do I get Smile on the show? Do you guys know those guys?
After the show, we will. Okay. After the 14th.
I've seen them a couple times. They're
I feel
good.
Like we've seen them.
I've seen them.
I can't remember the lead singer's name, but I think I've encountered him before, maybe.
I think I encountered him as well. I might have freaked him out.
Might
sometimes
be easy
he'd
to
come
do.
Up and be like, you know, hey, you know.
Might be easy to do. Some people are.
What's this guy's
out,
deal? Man. You know? Yeah. Why does he want me to come to his apartment?
People
and talk
have probably
to
said that about me.
You can usually tell by their facial expressions shortly after it's mentioned. You know?
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
us.
Yeah.
We're always contorting our faces in strange ways just to confuse people.
Yeah.
How much? Do you guys tour outside of when you're chasing buses with Gary Clark Jr. in them?
Yes, we do loads of miserable touring.
Talk to me about it.
No, our tours are awesome. We did a run with Jimmy. His first tour, we went up through the Midwest and played, you know, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, all the way up to
Minneapolis.
Yeah, we went to we went really far north, and then we drove over to Seattle, and then went down to Arizona and El Paso, and then over.
Jesus.
And then we're going to do some flyout tours, like to New York and Philly and stuff, and kind of keep it more central so we're not spending so much. Because now that we do have this Black Fret grant, we really want to like make use of everything.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
And we've made some connections over like through that touring, so it's like, okay, we don't need
just
to
get over there quickly.
Iowa doesn't need us so urgently right now.
Right.
But someday they will, but not so much right now.
Right.
But
being smart, it's hard to do it on. I mean, most people don't even have that extra $7,000 to sort of like figure out how they're going to do it. You know.
Yeah.
You just got nominated again.
We did.
Like, what happens when you get nominated? What do you go through? You play a bunch of shows.
Basically, they don't make you. You have obviously don't have to do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But they pay you to play these shows. That's outside of your grant money. So
sure,
you know, they ask you if you know check availability. You basically do two showcases for like a membership audience.
Right, like and in then, the backyard of a. I've been
well,
to a few
it's,
of them.
It'd be they're like at the Moody Theater, or like
Or
the
one
center,
one to one bar, or
yeah, they showcase a one to one bar a lot.
Different venues around Austin.
Yeah. And so you basically do two of those a year, and then there's a big ball where they, you know, at movie theater where they vote you in.
Each time you play one of their shows, though, you're playing in front of people who potentially are going to vote for you at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it's good to play the shows for the, to, you know, expose yourself to these potential voters.
Because we only did one. Like, we only were able to do one last year or something like that. And then we played the Black Fret Ball when it was over. And then everyone was like,
hey,
they didn't
that?
I don't think they really even knew that we were in it.
Yeah, we got
stuff when you're on tour and going and trying to
chase
play
the
outside of Austin.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was definitely a good opportunity.
Yeah.
To play the Moody Theater. That place is
amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
And now we have a tradition. We've done that 3 years running. January 5th, every year with a few different people, but every year at Moody Theater we've done it. So we'll do it again this year. It'll be four.
That's awesome. That's very, very awesome. So what do you have scheduled now for touring? Anything?
Got a little Kalu run in
May. We're doing same weekend with Dinosaur Jr. We're working on House of Blues run with Kalu for Dallas, Houston, and New Orleans.
You guys have a booking agent? Yes?
We do, yeah. We're 9 Mile is our booking.
Okay.
I do a lot of the stuff. Like, we work together, you know. We very much are equal contributors, I think. But yeah, we're on with 9 Mile as far as booking goes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Joe Smith. 9 Mile.
With a Y.
Oh.
Smythe. He will love that.
Does he listen to your podcast? Does he? No.
Probably not.
No, he's not paying attention. Hopefully he's booking shows.
So that'll be awesome, man, doing that run with Kalu.
Yeah. Anything we get to do with him is fun.
Yeah.
And then we've got that Dinosaur Jr. show, and then we've got... right now we're in the midst of booking New York and Philly because we had a radio DJ from Philly that was having some interest in us going out and doing like a...
Awesome.
You know, he came in when we played the KUTX Studio 1A thing. He came in and watched us and he watched us when we played in Philly and all that, so he's kind of become a fan, I guess.
That's great, man.
So we're working on that, branching out a little bit.
Do you feel like you're waving, like you're holding up rock and roll, like for not holding it back, but holding it up? Like, hey, man, remember this is happening.
We're just kind of doing our thing.
No, there's amazing rock bands in the.
Totally. But the thing is that it, in the
keeping
mainstream
the
and sort of up. the way that it's talked about and where the avenues are, there. Austin is very different. Like,
yeah.
Like they like
yeah, I think it's nice. I can definitely see it wasn't so much when I moved here that it was like, you know, but I can see now that like the things have changed a little bit. So I do notice that we are kind of put up as a singular rock band or as like one of the last rock bands.
And it's refreshing, we kind of resent, you know, to kind of feel like people are taking notice because we're just simply a rock band, and that seems to be a little
different. And you're really good at playing together, you know what I mean? And there's another thing that I think we should cover because it's one of the things that I love to talk about. I've only been in a trio once. And I became a completely different kind of musician.
Yeah.
My shows became completely different. Like, I'm a poppy rock songer. Like, I write in the vein of, like, T-Rex and Cheap Trick and stuff. Cool, there's a definite structure.
Favorite.
There's no people, like, going off and having a whatever land. But there's something you can only do in a trio, which is this improvisational sort of, you can take things places because the communication's in this very clear triangle. Mm-hmm. There's no kind of like, you're there. Right. You know what I mean?
Bare bones.
There's space for everybody.
There's space for everybody. Yeah. So do you guys as a live band, are shows different than the night before sometimes because of something you were feeling in the moment?
Most definitely. Yeah, that happens all the time.
I think we're all kind of, you know, emotional players in a sense where, like, you know, we kind of put it all in when we play. And so, of course, you know, there's, if you're not 100% in the moment, you know, your performance might show that, you know, if you're down or if you're up.
And we have moments that are, like, kind of set to be, you know, like any band has a moment where it's like, okay, don't change until we are all kind of on the same page. Like, there are definitely moments that are kept intentionally improvisational so they can be free, because it's almost like a way to, you know, if a crowd's enjoying the hell out of it, I don't want it to stop, you know? Yeah, so let's keep it going. But also, if people want you to stop, then it's nice to have that caveat out and be like, okay,
it's time.
That's good. Because I don't want anyone to be scowling at me, you know?
Well, there's definitely like, like, I didn't mean it in, like, you guys take off on these, like Grateful Dead jams or, like, you know, whatever kind of things like that. But, like, because your songs do have, are informed by punk structure. They're not long.
No, they're kind of short.
Is there even a 5-minute song on your last album?
No.
I don't think so. No. There's a couple fours, but
we actually did. But we edited it down.
Yeah,
we did. There was a longer song. We just edited it.
So can songs get a little longer when you're playing live if you get into a situation where you connect?
Not so much.
Maybe a section by a bar section or two. If someone throw in a solo and just needs to go a little longer. We all kind of know how to hold
it. We're trying to remain impassioned. We don't want to bore anyone or ourselves, so we kind of get in and get out. And
that's true.
And I think as a person, I'm just an ADD child, so I can't really do one thing for too long anyway. I get really bored.
Yep.
What kind of music is your what do you listen to?
Literally like not everything. There's some things I distinctly hate, but I love something from every genre. But I like the strangest of the strange. Like,
you've exposed me to some new music, which is very rare.
Yeah, I like Karlheinz Stockhausen.
This is the most Captain Beefheart ever been mentioned on this podcast.
Okay, well, I could get away from that too. You know, I like Brian Eno a lot.
Oh yeah, me too.
I like Chrome. I like. Who else do I like?
Have you guys ever worked with Frenchie Smith at all?
No, we know him. You know, we've never worked together, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He's a good guy. He comes from that same world.
Yeah, definitely. 16 Deluxe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually watched that video the other day. They like, re-released one.
Looked like
we had an idea.
I'm a fucking such a huge fan of that band. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
It's not anyway. That weird. A lot of people love Frenchie.
Oh yeah, it's not weird. Frenchie and I go back a long way.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, like almost 30
I guess we
years.
Do too now. A little, you know. Yeah. Shoot, if I've been here for 11 years, then I kind of go back a little bit. Yeah. With them too. Yeah. It was strange to watch that transition from being the new guy to now. I feel like I know a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
how does that tell me about that? How does that you like the community?
I do very much. Yeah, that's awesome. What we're all
music
about.
Music community is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're all, like, with the Kalu thing, we're all about supporting other people, even when, you know, maybe necessarily not feeling that support back. Like, you still have to show up, and there's a job to do outside of showing up for your own stuff, you know.
That's a good thing to say.
Yeah.
How do I even talk? Sorry.
Well, I'm a music fan, so I want to be the front row. If I like your band, you'll know it because I'll be right in the front.
Yeah.
But if I don't like your band, I won't be there. Or unless, that doesn't mean if I've never been to your shows, I don't like your band. But like, I try to make it out to what I can, you know?
Yeah.
We've been more busy lately, but I still want to see like every band I can.
Good. Lee, what's your jam?
What do you
rock out to?
I've been listening to a lot of classical music lately.
Dude, you are just like out there in the country listening to classical music. So
he's like Bukowski. He's got some violence. Don't believe that.
It's real dusty in the shop situation I'm building right now, so it's too dusty for records. So tapes. I'm doing a lot of cassette tapes right now because it's a enclosed situation that I can, you know, get dusty and stuff. So
yeah, there you go.
My sister sent me some tapes from Little Axe Records up in Portland that are unstoppable. Can't stop listening to those either. Just compilation tapes of music I've never heard before, like world music,
stuff from the Northwest.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's all world music, just kind of all mashed together. Pretty fun.
Yeah,
definitely.
What about you, Lee?
Jimmy? Killer knowledge of like early blues music and kind of like standards and just like the good, also super great country. We did this cover of that country song, 6 Foot Under by Bob Freifogel. He's turned me on to some really cool stuff that like has become an obsession. So like he knows all the good.
I kind of cut my country music listening off at like 1980. So everything before that. Everything before that's game for me. Old blues.
Yeah, we like a lot of old blues.
Pretty much, you know, dominates my record collection now. But yeah,
I don't have a good enough connection. This has been the weirdest thing about living in this town and being part of this community for me is like I have way more knowledge of like the Partridge Family, and I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Than I do about any of the Kings. Like,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I always feel bad about that. Or I feel bad about that sometimes. And then other times I'm like, well, someone's got to not know about it.
King.
You know what I mean? Here, check this out, John. I can't remember how long ago it was, but they used to do this Night of the Three Kings.
Okay.
I got a call from Antones. The person that was booking Antones at the time was like, hey, man, you want to come out and do the Three Kings? And I'm like, like some kind of religious thing?
Like, we three kings? Steal thy
my
gold?
First, my first thing is like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Christmas, what song would you sing? Time. Like, yeah. And they're like, no, you know, it's the Blues Kings. And I'm like, not Stephen King. And she goes, never mind.
Never mind. Never mind.
Like, yeah.
We thought you were going to just like lean a little Freddy heavy, but you are just not aware of.
It's terrible to say. I've seen Buddy Guy. I'm friends with Gary and Eve and Carolyn Wonderland.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And I played with Ian Moore.
That's cool.
I mean, I toured with playing in his band.
That's cool.
But I just didn't ever get the schooling in the blues, man.
Oh, yeah. Got to go digging.
I do got to go digging.
Yeah, damn.
I learned how to play the Muddy Waters.
See, I just know like the Rolling Stones versions of those songs.
Well, growing up in Kansas City, you had to know everything.
Right.
You had to know everything about, not that I do know everything, but you had to know a lot about jazz and blues.
Yeah.
And that's really what people are listening to.
It's one of the American music cities, Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't really, you know, same with like Memphis. Like people aren't listening to Billie Eilish in Memphis. They're listening to, you know, stuff from that era. They're not listening to like, they're truly listening to that 50s and earlier stuff, you know. It's not like they're collectors of that, you know, so it's different. You can't go there and assume that they're going to digest your rock set entirely, you know.
Yeah.
Jimmy,
what about you, man?
Music? Man, I'm a huge music nerd, so it's funny, like, you know, I've always played in rock bands, like been like a rock guy, but kind of the last thing I really want to listen to on any normal day is some heavy rock stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm all across the board, being the drummer, you know, anything with rhythm, some sort of cool sounds. I can listen to a lot of what some people might consider bad music just because I find a cool rhythm in it or something like that. So hooking up with these guys was very refreshing too for their like love of all music too, you know.
Of course, we love bad music.
You know, we, you know, all were influenced by similar stuff growing up, but you know, can enjoy like music from all genres.
Yeah,
well, bad's all relative.
You guys, I like
Steve Monique.
Do you still throw on a Blink 182?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never got into.
I didn't either.
I didn't.
I had the Mark Hoppus signature bass.
My
little known fact.
That's good.
Yeah.
A friend of mine that's a comedian referred to that kind of music one day as tattletale rock.
What does that mean?
Just think about it, because it took me a minute, and like 5 minutes later, I just started laughing so hard because it's like, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's very nanny.
Now I'm telling mom.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah. But they're like, I think it's great that they're still playing songs about being 17 and shit like that. It's kind of perverse. It's like, it's strange, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's like
there's still a market for it.
Yeah. But I like, I literally like everything. And I work in a warehouse, like, and my whole thing is listening to music all day. So I will listen to.
Oh, that's cool.
I will listen to Deftones. I will listen to Korn. I put on Rammstein.
Wow. Whoa.
Ministry. Whoa. We listen to strange shit. Yesterday, it was 311 day yesterday, so we actually played 311 at 311 on 311.
Nice.
The singer from 311 is doing the show.
That's awesome. Well, tell them that we did that in the warehouse.
I'll tell them. I actually will. I don't know what
and
else
to
talk to
him
about.
Tell
him
to give us some records, and we'll ship his records.
Okay. Actually, you work in a record warehouse?
Yeah.
Where?
El Famoso. It's actually the warehouse for Spaceflight Records. Again, how I got the job, because Brett rules.
Man, you are... Yeah, you're connected over there.
Just Brett. Brett. I just know Brett.
Yeah.
Connected to Brett.
So what do you guys ship out records all day?
Yeah, vinyls. Yeah. We do a lot of cool stuff. We do people's books. We do just got a bunch of Henry Rollins books.
Oh, cool.
I got a signed Get in the Van poster.
Les nice. Claypool book.
I got Les Claypool's book. I got a bunch of cool, we do Primus. We do a bunch of cool stuff.
That's awesome.
We do Ariana Grande, too. We do like a bunch of pop stuff. Trippy Red, hip hop.
Nice. He was just in town.
Yeah, there's a lot. We ship like 4,000 records every day. We're Jesus. Doing a lot of vinyls, and we're doing a lot of it's cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And the whole thing is we're trying to figure out like at that industry to make things, you know, we're like the generation is gonna make that more eco. So like the whole responsibility of like, yes, there's a vinyl resurgence. How do we do that healthily? I think that's definitely our responsibility as musicians and as, you know, as music releasers, you should be considering how your product is affecting like vinyl discs are crazy to produce. They're horrible.
Yeah.
But there's got to be another way. Hemp discs, that could be very cool.
Can you melt down old vinyl?
Yeah.
Recycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Recycle.
They do that for sure. Mm-hmm. That's why there's virgin vinyl.
Bro, what happened to... I love to start off sentences with bro.
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 So,
bro, what happened with that lacquer fire?
Oh,
what happened
man.
With that lacquer fire? Did it affect
know.
Everything? Because I thought it was going to end vinyl,
yeah,
and then
no.
you never heard about it again.
No, it's definitely a thing. I mean, it's a big thing, just like, you know, whatever it was, Universal burning down all the master tapes.
Right,
of course
right.
you never heard anything about it. It's a catastrophe.
You know, do you guys know Austin Signal? You know that guy who does Small Run Vinyl?
Well,
he did Small Run Vinyl. He used to advertise on the show.
Where you would get like 500 records or something, and then...
No, just like... 1 to 50, I think.
Oh.
Some runs that he would do.
Small runs.
No, that's
very
really small
runs. It was the only run he was doing, like with a lathe.
That's cool.
Record
that's
in
awesome.
Real
They're all
time.
Lathe cut?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, they
so,
would have to be. He did. Yeah, we did. We,
you know what I'm talking
so
about?
So would you record directly to it?
You could record directly
he did.
To it.
Yeah, we almost did that way back in the day. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That guy was a sponsor of the show, and I guess that when that thing went down, he got so much fucking, like,
he got a bunch
work
of biz from it.
Closed down. Like,
or
he was
he got,
just like,
oh, wow.
He only had two fucking lathes.
Yeah.
So, like,
just,
yeah. It's like, yeah, this isn't going
to
work.
Find
like
somebody
this.
To buy your lathes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of, you know, controversies in that world. And I don't even know if I... But, you know, there's that place, Gold Rush, that's opening in town. And
yeah, it's here.
I don't know if they're successful yet.
They just won some... I just read today on something that they got some award for, like, most innovative new business something. Yeah.
Good. Well, that's what... Because we want to keep it all as much... I don't want to be getting records back from Yugoslavia or where Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah.
You can pick them up in your truck.
Right. I want to... I would love to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I think Dan Redmond from Mosaic's trying to get something like that going too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you guys playing his thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Spaceflight like Records. Or which
the Val Kilmer.
It's, yeah, we're on
it's
that
Spaceflight
one.
That's the Spaceflight and Mosaic.
Oh, okay. So it's everyone. Right. It's at Schultz's. What day is that?
Yeah, that's the 19th.
What day is that?
Thursday the 19th.
Oh, I might be able to go to that.
Trail of Dead, Black Angels, The Sword.
What time you got? What?
Think No Think.
Crow and the Boys, Brownout. Holy Wave. Kalu. It's a big one.
Can you get Everyone's me into that there. Thing?
It's, yeah.
Do
it's,
I have to reach
it's
out
free.
No, it's what free.
Free. You can RSVP. Have you jumped the fence in the back?
It's right. RSVP, but it doesn't matter. You can come, of course.
Free 99.
God damn, that's a huge bill.
It's bigger.
It's more than you guys. Yeah. We're lucky that it's still happening, because I think it's going to be one of the bigger... I think it's going to be really fun, is what I'll say. That's an adventurous statement that I was going to make before.
I don't know when this is coming out, you guys. I'm bummed out.
Well, hopefully it's
this podcast
after, and then we can see what I say if it's true or not.
If it's true or not. Yeah.
I always love fact checks.
You can always cut it.
Yeah. We'll edit it.
We love fact checks. So, yeah, think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to fact check. Is there anything I'm missing? It's really nice to meet you guys. You guys are really great, too, man. Like,
thank you.
I'm really
thank you so much.
Very, very glad that you're out there. I'm glad we finally connected. Did I write you guys before?
We did, yeah. There was. That's, okay. Because we got reconnected by Samara, and it was kind of like, I was like, wait a minute, I think we were just trying to make this happen, and it didn't work out.
Because it was recently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was probably last week.
I think she
week.
Might have told me about you, too.
Well, she reached out the second time, I know for sure. But you had already reached out, and...
I know I did on my own one day. I was just
so
it's 4 o'clock in the morning, laying naked in bed, looking at photos of rock dudes.
Is
that what your morning or is your evening?
That's my morning.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of blends together.
I don't know when I'm asleep or awake. It's been great having you guys on.
Thank you for having us
Is there anything I'm missing?
No, I really wish I could read a quote. You know,
go ahead,
ask
go ahead
me if
read
I was going to read
something.
This.
Read a little something.
From
like if,
the, anyone that knows.
Like if you wrote the book.
God. If only. This is Tropic of Cancer by Henry Miller. So anyone that knows anything about that knows what I'm getting into here. But I don't know if I can find it. So this might be completely. Because I was
my
not prepared for this.
Sounded like a cricket there.
There you go.
Lee, say something interesting until I find out what I'm doing.
Did you guys get stickers? Yeah, it's Lee, say
cricket,
something interesting.
Cricket sounds.
No, don't do that.
It's with my stool. It wasn't me, personally.
I know something funny.
Okay.
What you
okay,
got?
Okay. So, I see that. Okay, so like, basically he's talking about the arts and basically who he likes and who he can find out who is real and who is not. A man who belongs to this race, you know, the race of artists who are into the, going to the depths, you know, from the deepest depths to the greatest heights, basically, is who he's referring to. A man who belongs to this race must stand up on the high place with gibberish in his mouth and rip out his entrails. It is right and just, because he must. Anything that falls short of this frightening spectacle, anything less shuddering, less terrifying, less mad, less intoxicated, less contaminating, it is not art. The rest is counterfeit. The rest is human. The rest belongs to life and lifelessness. And that is kind of an ethos of what we're about.
Yeah. Well, that's a good place to end it. Thanks for doing the show, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
John, Jimmy, and Lee, Think No Think, rock and roll trio out there. Their brand new LP, Nothing Really Matters, is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Get out there and find them, gang. Great, great band. Great conversation. Great dudes. I hope we stay in touch, man. They're very, very nice. And I'll share those pictures on our Facebook page. Don't forget to like How Did I Get Here's Facebook page. Please, don't forget. All right? All right. Hey, gang, I want to thank those guys from Think No Think for coming by last week. It was great talking to them. Don't forget, there'll be a brand new show for you tomorrow. Who will it be? I don't know. It's going to be a surprise. All right. Have a great day. Stay safe. Stay inside. Don't go anywhere you don't need to go. Here's some more music from Think No Think. Go listen to their LP, Nothing Really Matters. Great album. Let's get down.